Say this for me. Power. Say that again. Power. Say water. Food. Emergency communication. And records. How many got all your stuff taken care of? I sense in this room, oh, Holy Ghost, don't get on them today. Amen. But I sense in the room today there's some people that think you got your stuff together. You got it all taken care of, boxed up with a bow on top. Uh-oh. Say, I got it all taken care of. I got it timed. I got that five-year plan. How many got a five-year plan, six-year plan? But did you calculate the move of the Holy Ghost? Did you calculate what God's going to do in this last day? Say power, water, food, and emergency communication, and records. You know what power is? You know what the root to a power is? We're getting on Y2K just a little bit because it still might happen. Maybe the computers forgot what day it was. Do you know what power is about? How many of you want power? How many of you want some power? The root to power is accumulation. Open your arms like this and say, accumulation brings power. Water, this thing that is clearless, odorless, tasteless, doesn't have any color, can't taste it, doesn't have any odor whatsoever, but yet it is the most potent substance on the earth. And food. Anybody forget to eat this week? Did anybody forget to eat this week? Now, around about 1:30, people start to get hunger pains. And they've got to go get some food. But food, how many believe food is important? Well, food is a very powerful thing on the earth. You can't survive without food. You won't live long. Guess what food is? That which is fed upon to support life. Food is anything you feed on that will support life. How many of you want that life? And that life more abundantly? Are you feeding on stuff that's going to support that life? It's the same thing. We can eat junk food. Somebody say, thank God we're changing our diets. Amen. But I'm hearing the Holy Ghost in that church. I'm hearing the Holy Ghost. We're starting to hear about centurions and stuff like that. And the enemy will come at you in any way that he can come at you. Amen. But God wants you healthy, whole, and healed. And food is extremely important. Food, spiritual food is important. But also the food that you eat is extremely important. You can eat anything you want. You're not going to go to hell for eating a pig. Amen. You can eat whatever you want. But you need to be conscious about what you eat. Depends on how long you're going to live. You just keep eating a whole lot of junk. That's what kind of life you're going to have, is a junky life. A junky, short life. Sick. Filled with toxins. But another thing that's very important to the human being's life is our communication. Did you know that? Human beings were meant to communicate. And communication is intercourse with words. When you look that definition up in the dictionary, it says intercourse with words. Now, we know what intercourse does, right? We think about intercourse. Intercourse brings us what? Babies. Every time two things comes together and you get a baby. Well, let me tell you what. Your communication with others is bringing about babies. And a whole lot of people got corrupt communication. And there's a whole bunch of illegitimate children running around. Because of corrupt communication. Anyone watching Brother Joel Osteen on TV this morning? He was talking about relationships this morning, how important relationships. And Brother Joel came out so strong, and he just said straight up. He said, look, if you got ungodly relationships, relationships that aren't talking faith, and that aren't positive, he said, forget about any blessing in the year 2000. He said, your relationships will forfeit God's blessings. Amen. Negative relationships. But what you talk about will breed. Your communication will produce. Teenagers, guess what? What you say to one another in private, guess what? You want to eat it? Intercourse with words. I mean, busybody, loose lips. Everybody heard the term loose lips sink ships? Well, if you want to bring about good things, how many want to bring about good things? Now, I got two dachshunds. And if I put my two dachshunds, because my two dachshunds got papered. And if you got a mutt, and if I want to sell some puppies, if I want the value of my puppies, I got to breed my puppies with other, I got to breed my dogs with other dogs with papers. That way it'd be worth something. Listen to this. You want to upgrade your lifestyle, hang around pedigree saints. Hang around pedigree saints. Now, it'd be a trip if I just threw another dog in the backyard and my dogs out in the backyard and just expected them not to have puppies. You keep fellowshipping. You keep dwelling with. You keep talking sooner or later. You're going to breed yourself some puppies. And you're going to have some illegitimate fruit and illegitimate stuff coming up just because of relationships. The other thing they told us to watch out for in Y2K was records. You wanted your records were sure and true, your medical records, your family history, how much money you had in the bank, your records tied. How many of you would be awful if you just lost your Social Security number? Or if you lost records, how many of you got money in the bank? Some of us would be so happy if they destroyed all records, amen? But a record is nothing but something that we write down that reminds us who we are and what we've got. Now, if we got all those things on the outside that are important to us, how many got those things on the outside? If you're somebody, you're going to have some of those things, right? Well, in the spiritual kingdom, it's the same thing. I'd be very concerned about you if you never had food. I mean, you'd be a sick puppy if you never had food. If you had kids, you sent kids to school, and all the other kids had friends, and your kid was always stuck in a corner somewhere looking at walls and talking to the roaches, you would be concerned about that child, wouldn't you? You want to make sure they're able to relate to each other. Well, in the body of Christ, we got church folk that don't have any of the basics of kingdom life. They don't feed themselves spiritually. They breed with mutts. I mean, they're supposed to be pedigree, but everything they hang around is a mutt. And I guarantee you, I can look at your friends and tell you what you're going to produce. Get your phone bill out and look at who you're talking to. Take a phone record real quick and look at who you're talking to, and that'll tell you what's going to come out of what you've got. Amen? I don't care how much of a dachshund you are. Amen? If you're hanging around flea bags, guess what? You're going to have a bunch of flea bag puppies coming. But in God's kingdom, we must be compliant to the Holy Ghost. Because you know what? Last year was great, but that's not God's best. We haven't even scratched the surface about what God said that we should be walking in and doing and living. Amen? I believe this is some dark ages. Somebody said, oh, this is a good time. No, these are dark ages. We might got lights on and you might be in a car. But when you don't see the power of God and the glory of God in demonstration and souls getting saved and people getting healed, amen, the devil in his place, guess what? You're in a dark age. These are rough and evil times, but we're coming out of this. First of all, we got to believe that God's got better and we can have better, and what we got is not enough. This ain't what it's supposed to be. This ain't the church. Amen. This is a church, but this is not, I don't believe this is the church that Jesus had vision of. He's going to clean it up and fix it to make it more like what he wants it to be. He wants that church to do the same things that he did. To walk in the same power, the same glory, have the same manifestations. Guess what? It's going to happen this year. But we got to do a little rearranging. Well, I'm on a kick for the year 2000. And I'm going bust for kingdom. Amen. I see Jesus and I'm ready to invest everything I've got for the glory of God. And you're in this thing and you don't have a choice. You're going to. Somebody say, pack them up and get ready. I'm going to give you some forewarning about what's going to be happening in this new year. And you got to get ready. I'm not going to ask you to. I'm just going to tell you to. Is that all right? I'm just going to assume that you're going to do what God wants you to do. We said on Friday night that you need to be ready. That means to provide. Prepare yourself and get adjusted. look at somebody and say, you need to adjust your life. How many of you really considered that? How many of you want more of God this year coming up? How many of you want more of God? You want to see God's power move. Well, guess what? If you want to see the power of God, the glory of God, you want more, you've got to start making adjustments. And if you haven't already started to make adjustments, you don't have a plan for adjustment, get used to what you've got. Because you're not getting anything else. When you want God to bring about a change, you start letting Him change you and you start making adjustments. Start messing with everything. Mess with everything. Mess with your house. Mess with your car. Mess with your children. Mess with your business. Mess with your job. Somebody say, I'm going to poke it a bit. I'm going to start to make adjustments for the Holy Ghost and adjustments for what I believe I want God to do. You better adjust yourself, because I know some of us, and I know me. The little thing I got set up, my little stuff that I got set up, there's not enough room to contain what God wants to do. There's stuff in the way. He don't want to come into that mess. Look at somebody and say, God don't bless no mess. Adjust your mess and God will start to bless. Husbands might need to grab their kids and look at somebody and say, you better adjust yourself in Jesus' name. Now, there have been some slow to starts. I feel the Holy Ghost on that. Somebody say, slow to start. There have been some slow to starters. People that are trusting in their own ability and their own plan. I've got it all taken care of. I got it all taken care of. Just play it cool. We'll just go along. We'll just go along for the ride, but we're not going to mess with anything. We're just going to march along the side. We're not really a part of them. It's like a parade going by, and you're on the curb just walking along. You ain't in the band. And you're walking along, and you think you're in the band. You're not in the band. You're just walking along. How many of you go on a parade? You know, and little kids do that. You know, they walk beside the band. They ain't got no uniform. Anybody looking at them? You're just walking alongside. But I got a word from the Holy Ghost for you. Walk or alongside. Amen. You're not in the band, and the Holy Ghost wants you in the band. Amen. And to be in the band, you got to learn the music. You got to learn the steps. You got to put on the hat, get the whole red jacket, and go to practice. Amen. No time for you to be thinking about stuff. You should have thought about it already. You should be in this stuff, praying in the Holy Ghost, living in the river of God, reading the Word of God, showing up to every meeting you can think about. You hear me? I'm so tired of religious, crazy people putting God in a box. You better get God in a box and get into the real world. This is the real world. Amen. That on the outside is an illusion suddenly to fade away. And if you got your confidence out there instead of in here where the Holy Ghost is moved, because what's in here is going to break out there. Woo! I done found out something in the Word of God, and I believe it to be true, and I'm ready to invest in it. And you're going to invest in it too. If you're sitting here, I'm just going to assume you're in that number. I told somebody else, I said, look, we got some new converts in here that don't know what's going on. So we got to do something for them. So we're going to do Sunday nights. You don't have to come to Sunday nights. But for people that don't understand what's going on, if you got a problem getting in, if you're slow, when we say pray in the Holy Ghost, you're taking 6 minutes to pray in the Holy Ghost before you start to pray, and you get things going around in your head, you need Sunday nights. If you've been coming to church, you come to church for attitudes, you got to warm up, amen, you need Sunday night. There's things that you don't understand. You need to come to Sunday night. And I was telling a lady, came showed up at church last night. And I said, well, yeah, we're thinking about doing Sunday. She said, oh, be careful. I said, why? She said, because Sunday's a day for the family. You know, Sunday's a day for the family because, you know, the family's important. That's where God flows from. And me, like a dumb, said, oh, yeah, you're probably right. Still going to do what I was going to do anyhow. But I was thinking, yeah, she's probably right. I woke up this morning, got in that shower, the Holy Ghost read my number. And I'm going to read your number. I'm going to bust your religious bubble right now in Jesus' name, amen? And you deal with it. And if you're going to come at me, you come at me with Scripture, amen? You take your opinion straight to hell, amen? Let me tell you what. If you don't come in here, you're not going to have a family to spend time with. We're going to sit. No, it's a family time. Ain't no family. You're not going to get together for no family. You're going to lay your lazy butt on the sofa and watch TV. You're going to yell at the children. It's an excuse. It's a lie from the pit of hell. You need to find out where you're going and get in. If you want to save your family and have a quality family, you better seek the Lord. He's the only thing that can deliver your family, set your family free. He'll bring it together. I'm tired of sitting up in church all the time. I'm tired of sitting. That's the safety. Don't you know on the outside is what's pulling people apart? What's on the TV but hell? I was watching a TV show. And there was a little wonderful little cartoon that I saw on television. And I used to think that little guy was so cute. And I watched that guy and I saw the devil. And they had God. It was Christmas time and they wanted God to appear for Christmas. Very popular television show in our culture. And so they had God appear on the television. And you know what he looked like? A snaggle-toothed dog. Jesus is one of the main characters on the television show. People, these are the last in evil days. America doesn't have any more families. They don't know what family's about. There will be a curse on your family when you don't make God first. If God is not a member of your family, if your kids know that you don't honor, if God's the man, he's first, that's building it from the ground up. And some of these thick-headed men, no, I can handle it all together. You don't have what it takes to hold it together. You need God. You submit yourself under the authority of God. He's not going to wear you out, and he will put your family together for you. How many want prosperity? But you know, God blesses his plan. God blesses his plan. God is not playing games in these last days. He means business. Get over to Ezra. God's got a plan. God's got a supernatural plan. And it might surprise one of you what this plan is, but God's got a plan of taking over the world. He's got this plan. And I really believe he thinks he can do it. He didn't put us here just to be here. He put us here to take over and to possess the land. And there's a possess the land anointing. Amen. And we don't have much longer to do this. And we got a plan to possess the land. You need to get together in your marriages and in your families and talk to your children. And you need to start to cast visions, fathers and mothers, before your family and say, look, we're going, as a family, we're going to possess the land by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost this year. We're going to go into everything that God wants us to go into. Amen? And we're going to conquer and we're going to reign. Well, God has called us to possess the land here in this community. He's called us to possess the land and to stand strong. And what an enormous task that is. But all we got to do is have faith and confidence in God that we can do what he wants us to do. And we can. God has talked to us about crossing over from bondage into liberty. Well, God is bringing us out from the world beneath us, and he's calling us up to a higher kingdom and a higher level of anointing and a higher level of faith. And we said that we're no longer becoming earthbound, but heavenly kingdom minded. God is revealing himself to the body of Christ in this time and in this dispensation more than he has ever done it before. The Bible says in the last day, revelation knowledge will flow, and the word of prophecy came forth. And I was listening to another guy at 3 o'clock this morning on the television, and the brother was teaching, and he said, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And what is the Lamb's Book of Life? But the Bible, right? Well, do you know that's now proven true? How is that proven true? We just found out about 4 years ago through the Bible code that every one of your names are in the Lamb's Book of Life, are in Scripture. Literally, your name is in there, the Lamb's Book of Life. And when they studied the Bible code, they studied Bible code, they said at everybody's names, there were two paths that the individuals could take. They saw the plan of Hitler, God's will. They saw this other thing. And each one of us, there's a destiny, and because there's a free will involved with us. And do you know that even the free will is in Scripture? Well, God's got a plan for this hour. You got to mind your business and let God mind his business. God wants to rebuild the temple. How many of you want to take part in the rebuilding of the temple? Now, Israel is a foreshadow of what God wants to do in us. God let me in on something. Now, we're waiting for it to happen over there in Israel, and I believe it will literally happen over there in Israel. But God says, I'm going to rebuild the temple in the church. And this is the anointing of the millennial reign of this of the year 2000. He is building his church so that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And listen, it is not his church until its glory exceeds the past. It is not his church or the church that he destined it to be until its glory exceeds the past. This is what we're going to do this year. And we're going to let you in on it. How many of you want to see God move by power and by authority? It's an easy thing. It's an easy thing. The church is extremely important in God's mindset. Now, if you look at the book of Ezra, they came out of Babylon. There's an anointing that God is going to deliver people from Babylon. Now, isn't it amazing that the children of Abraham were stuck in Babylon, which represents bondage? And in the last day, who is the great beast? What do they call it? Beast of Babylon, right? Isn't that something? Isn't Babylon a horrible thing? Bondage and captivity? Foreshadow of this generation and of these things. God has given people the ability to break the power of Babylon from their life. You don't have to be earthbound anymore. Amen. You can come out and live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, abide under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Guess what? You don't even have to be stuck to the world financial system when you're prospered by the word of the Holy Ghost. God will make a way for you. He wants to set you free. That's a word of deliverance, and that's a word of victory for you if you could understand that you don't have to be. You're not like everybody else. You are a new creature, a strange and peculiar people that God has called to come out from the world. He's not going to glorify you until you make up your mind to come out, for the world is about to end. Amen. It's about to wrap up. How many of you made up your mind you're going to come out? How are you going to come out? By the Holy Ghost. By the leading of the Holy Ghost and by the word. Don't just say, I'm praying a sinner's prayer. That's not coming out. Coming out is coming out. The person that's freed from the world, you can tell people that are freed from the system of the world. There's a different mindset. You can tell when people are delivered. Amen. There is a better way. There's a higher life. And this is what God is bringing about on the earth today. The revelation, God is starting to show the manifestation of the sons of God on the earth in you. Oh, there will be a separation. Oh, there will be a separation. For the world will get darker and darker, and the church will get brighter and brighter and brighter. Don't think you're going to be able to sit in there. Don't think you're going to sit in. You are going to stick out whether you realize it or not. You're going to stick out whether you realize it or not. And you need to let go and trust God in every area. And obey God and trust God. Not just a little bit, but all the way. You've got to trust God. You've got to honor God in everything you do. And God will manifest his power on you. He will manifest his glory on you. And he'll make things happen for you if you do that. How do you manifest the power of God? How do you live? Let me give you some fruits. Now, this is not a thing. Let me give you some fruits of people that are not addicted to Babylon or in bondage. They pray in the Holy Ghost. They read the Word. And they honor God in everything they do. They honor God in everything they do. Well, once God brought them out of Babylon, He preached the word of us how we could escape and how we could come out. You are not going to be able to live this life of faith under the dictates of this worldly structure. He wanted them to build something. Restore the temple and build the temple again. This is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And this is what God is telling us to do here at Nations Church. And I believe all over the place. Build it. Build it. And everything we do is in line with this. Read Haggai when you get a chance. Read Haggai and Zechariah. Those books were the word of the Holy Ghost to Zerubbabel. And if you hear this word, I guarantee you supernatural abundance from the Holy Ghost. I guarantee you a new life. I guarantee you a reason to live. Amen? I guarantee it to you. I was reading in Scripture, and the Holy Ghost said, I've placed on you the anointing of Zerubbabel. I've placed on you the anointing of Zerubbabel. And I said, what in the world? First of all, I don't know all these little names in the Bibles. I thought, oh, God, is that one that He wiped out? I was hoping it wasn't one that He wiped out. He said, but there's an anointing of Zerubbabel. And then I read what Zerubbabel did. And he received the word of the Lord to rebuild the temple of God. I wonder why in my personal life, in my life, there's nothing that I desire to do than fulfill the call of God on my life. And the call, when you see us doing the things that we do, that call is building the temple of God. And I believe the temple of God that He's, the temple that He's talking about in my life personally, is this church. Now we know that Christ does the work. Christ builds the church, but He uses people. And I thank God that there's a supernatural anointing of Zerubbabel that God has placed on this house in this year to do what God wants done. And we're going to flow in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Somebody says, you need to be focused on saving souls. If I do what God tells me to do, souls will get saved. Somebody says, you need to be feeding the hungry and clothing the poor. If I do what God told me to do, I'll feed the hungry and clothe the poor. You got to find out what the Holy Ghost told you to do. Do it suddenly. The house of God will be built. But you need to shout for joy because the anointing of Zerubbabel is in your midst. Not me, but the Holy Ghost. God wouldn't build a temple if He wasn't planning to show up. That's when you need to shout. God wouldn't build a temple and use His people to build something to stay empty. Glory to God. God is about to manifest His glory like you've never, ever, ever seen before. He said, I'm going to change your name to give you something to do. My job is real easy. Build the house. There are a whole line of people coming back. He said, I want you to restore. Somebody say restore. Restore what God wants restored. So in the book of Ezra, the anointing of the Holy Ghost spoke and He said, build the temple. Guess what, church? It flows from the top down. And I prophesy and say to you right now, there's an anointing of Zerubbabel that God's placed on your life. And I call forth that you stir up the gift within you that God can do what He wants to do. It's an easy task. Get busy. Get busy. Why do you think you get those visions? God places things on your... What He wants you to do. God wants you to do something. It's not me that has just a call on my life. There's a call on your life. Everybody's got a call from the Holy Ghost. Something that God wants you to do. And you wonder why you act the way you do sometimes. Even some of the things that you do personally will confirm what God wants to do with your life. Wonder why I drive in the parking lot into the mall and get mad. There shouldn't be a building in town bigger than the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God's made me a builder, but not that kind of builder. Building the temple of the Holy Ghost right here, right now. Can I let you in on something? How many of y'all want to go deeper? Somebody say, let's dig deeper. How many of y'all remember us saying, you don't like it, leave? How many of y'all remember that and thought that was the craziest thing you ever heard? Well, can I show you something about Ezra? Do you know they had that same anointing? Do you know that was in Scripture? Caught you, devil! Well, God gave the word that Judah, and I believe it was Benjamin, should build the temple. God gave them the word to do this. But there were a whole bunch of people that decided to tag along. There were a whole lot of people marching on the sidewalk trying to be in the band, amen, without uniforms. And the anointing got on Zerubbabel and said, look, you don't have any part in this. We don't need your help. Did you know it was to Zerubbabel that the word of the Holy Ghost came and said, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. He put that in the word of prophecy to Zerubbabel that he might build the temple. For this thing to be built the way that God wants it to be built, guess what? It is not by might nor by power. I'm talking human might and human power, but by the spirit of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. So you had these people, that Samaritans, they came and they wanted to get involved in building that temple. What's a Samaritan? Can you say lukewarm? Samaritans were half-breed. Can you say mutt? Why do you think Jesus made reference to them being dogs? Now, I'm not coming against a nation of people. But can you see mutt dog? Dogs breed with anything. Well, Samaritans were part, I believe it was Persian, so they were part some other race and part Jew. They were part seed of Abraham and part some foreign pagan or whatever it was, some foreign. And they wanted to come and get involved in what God was doing. And he said, look, you don't have any part in this. Zerubbabel told him, look, you don't have any part in this. You got to be all the way in or out. If you want to get in on this wave of the Holy Ghost, and I don't believe it's just here, but if you want to get into the lineal reign of the Holy Ghost when God's building his temple once again, he's building the church again, restoring fire to the church, restoring the glory to the church again. Guess what? You better not have a Samaritan spirit. You better not be half in the world and half in the kingdom, half covenant and half uncovenant. You better be covenant all the way. Amen. And they got mad. Flesh got mad. These half-breeds got mad because they were building the temple. Well, they couldn't build the temple because God was going to do this thing by the Spirit. He was going to do this thing by the Spirit, and these Samaritans wanted to come in and help. He said, look, you can't flow with this. Can I tell you what? What God wants to do in this house, there are a whole lot of people that can't flow with this. Jesus told people, tried to save people lots of time. He said, either you're hot or cold. Don't be lukewarm. Amen. He said, let me save you some time. Let me save you a bunch of time. Either you're going to be into this Christian Jesus Holy Ghost thing all the way or no way at all. You don't have any part of this. So God just made it real clear. He said, look, I don't want to use any of it. I don't want to use any of it. If you have any possibility of manifesting non-covenant characteristics, we can't use you. Can't put up. Don't got time to put up with that. Time's short. You got to be able to convince. You know, that's the good thing. You can build quickly when you got scripture. It's easy. The decision's already made. You can go to the word about everything. There's no reason to argue when you got the Bible. And when you got the fruit of the Spirit, you just open up the Bible. The covenant will cut it. It'll work it out. You got to make up in your mind which way you're going to go. I'm still talking about the Samaritans. So those Samaritans, and I've noticed something that in, you know, our number one adversary against this ministry has not been the little secular people out there. We haven't had any problem with witches. Secular witches, you know, the non-Christian one. Non-professing witches. We have any problem of those kind of witches. The homosexuals have not picketed in front of the church doors. Bill and Hillary did not take our sign down off the front grass. We have had no problem from them. But from the existence of this ministry, Samaria has tried to act ugly. That's what we need to watch out for. And Samaria got so mad, Ezra chapter 4, in 4 verse 1, that they got this plan together and they tried to do some things. They tried to do several things. God does not want us to be ignorant of the devil's devices. Somebody say expect it. Because this is the way the devil's going to come. But we're going to catch him before he even starts. How were the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of captivity builded the temple unto the Lord of Israel? Then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God. So we seek your God as you do. Well, that's where it is right there. But you'll get real quickly that they tried to do several things. How many of you going to study that on your own when you go home? They tried to do several things to stop the building of the temple. They tried to do several things to stop the building of the temple. And I'm going to show you what Samaritans tried to do to stop the building of the temple so that we can catch him when he tries to do it here. Amen? The enemy's weapons against us. One, God does not want us to be ignorant of the enemy's devices. In Scripture, it says they weaken the hands of the people. If they can't stop you, they will try to weaken you. They will weaken the hands of the individuals. Somebody say power. Well, power is what? Authority. Power is authority and ability. You get a bunch of Samaritans, some of them don't give. Not because they're cheap, but some of them don't give because they're Samaritans. And guess what? They don't want to see the plan of God accomplished. And so they try to weaken the hands of those that are supposed to go forth. Number one thing that Samaritan spirits will try to do, they will try to weaken. If they can't conquer, they will weaken. They will start stuff in order to weaken. Two, troubled in the building. Here the children were trying, Judah and Benjamin were trying to build the temple. And here these Samaritans mad because they would not let them build. Because they couldn't be a part of it, amen, they tried to trouble it. Always causing trouble. How many ever been in a church where you had church people causing trouble? Samaritans will always cause trouble. They act like the people they hang around. And they try to act like that in the house of God. Trouble. Covenant people don't cause trouble. So first they tried to weaken them financially, or they tried to weaken the hands of the people. And when they couldn't weaken them, they tried to start trouble. Another thing they tried to do that Samaritans were trying to do, hire counselors against them. Uh-oh, what does that mean? Somebody say, strife. Got together to get counselors to argue. Well, that didn't agree with my spirit. Did it agree with your spirit? Did you hear the way Zerubbabel told them to put those bricks there? I don't know if he heard God or not. Let's judge. Let's do this. Let's counselors. Hired counselors. When they could not stop what God wanted to have done, they tried to frustrate them. They tried to weaken the hands and frustrate. See, Jesus knew what he was battling when he came down, amen? He was battling those Pharisees and Sadducees and all those people. And he dealt with them differently. And mine is these Samaritans, amen? I got a Samaritan ministry. I will not be frustrated. God does not want you to be frustrated, but God will build his temple. Well, can I tell you the outcome? The outcome of this whole thing, he had these Samaritans, but half-brothers. Half-brothers. He had the Samaritans acting up and acting crazy and trying to stop building the temple. God fixed it. The word of God came forth, amen, and the king decreed not only that the temple should be built, but he made them pay for it. He sent them money so that they were able to do what God said they should do. You know what? That's good news. Do you know who paid for the temple to be built? The inhabitants of the land. Isn't that amazing? The inhabitants of the land, the king sent a decree for that the inhabitants of the land paid for the temple to be built, and they got the thing built. I see God doing a supernatural thing, and I'm right in the middle of it, and so are you. God is going to build his house, and he doesn't build cheap stuff. And we're going to come out of that mentality in Jesus' name. We're going to come out of that mentality in Jesus' name. Glory to God. And there's an anointing of Zerubbabel in this house. And I declare that anointing is going to do a couple of things. Did you know that this was also the time when they heard a shout? Remember God said there's going to be a shout? There was a word of prophecy that came and said there's a shout coming. Well, if you would read the book of Ezra, they had a shout so loud that they heard them from miles round about. There was a shout that was so loud that they heard them from miles about. Now, you need to rejoice in this. The Holy Ghost. And rejoice in God. There were some people that tried to come against the early church in the book of Acts. And somebody was smart enough. Gamaliel was smart enough. He said, look, don't touch it. He said, because if this thing is not of God, it will die out. There have been lots of things that people try to shut stuff out and close stuff out. It's not our business. If it's not of God, it'll shut out. Amen. But if it be of God, who can stand against it? If the Lord be for you, who can be against you? This is the season and this is the time. You better tell him, don't touch. How many of you like that scripture says, despise not small beginnings? And in that book of Ezra as well, in certain things, it says, despise not small beginnings. And I heard that sentence in my own heart. And I thought I was being rebuked because I was just getting frustrated at some things. And I heard the word in my heart, despise not small beginnings. Despise not small beginnings. And I had to study that scripture. Despise not small beginnings. Can I tell you what I got? This is something that's going to help you in this next wave of glory. This is a word of warning. So here's a warning coming. This word went out over Zerubbabel and what they were planning to do. They just had the foundation laid. The only thing that was laid was the foundation. And he told the people, don't despise small beginnings. Listen, I believe we're getting the foundation down and God's going to complete the house. Amen? Despise means shame. To look down upon. Don't look down upon something that God starts. Don't look down upon it. And to despise also means to disrespect. And you remember we got that word before? And I said, despise not small beginnings was the word that God had given to Zerubbabel. And then there was a word that I got years ago. It says, restore reverence again to the house of God. Well, despise means to be irreverent, not to reverence or not to fear. It means to be irreverent, to have something in low opinion, or to disregard. I got a word for us this morning. Don't you despise or disregard small beginnings. Don't you wait for Nations Church to get 1,000 people, its own building, for you to regard it. You better catch that stuff now. Don't disregard what the Holy Ghost is doing. And that word disregard or despise means lack of attention and due care. Lack of attention and due care. Those that are called, if you're in here, you're called to help build the temple. Guess what? Don't give it a lack of attention and due care. That's how you despise small beginnings, by giving it a lack of attention and due care, letting things pass about unnoticed. Remember the Holy Ghost came to us and say, you lightly esteemed things. Israel got in trouble because they lightly esteemed what God was doing, lightly esteeming things. They lightly esteemed something. They didn't take it serious, so they missed God. Well, God tells us again, look, he that is faithful in little will be faithful in much. And we can't get this mentality. And that's what gets me about people. We don't want to get to the point when God blesses us to the level that we believe that God wants to bless us. Then we get our stuff together and then we change. We shouldn't change. We should be exactly what we are. We should carry ourselves as if it's completed. Amen. Let's not despise small beginnings. Let's take it. That means that we have to take advantage of this Sunday. Let's not despise small beginnings. Disregard, disrespect. Don't disregard it. Don't despise it. And don't disrespect it. In short, don't diss it. God is telling you, don't diss it. Can I read you a prophecy? Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone. Therefore, with shouting, crying, grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts have sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. With those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro the whole earth. Basically, that little thing right there at the end of it, I like this. It says, he shall bring forth the headstone. Can I tell you what the headstone is? Can I tell you what the headstone is? It's the foundation, but it's deeper, y'all. He shall bring forth the headstone. There's another Zerubbabel in Scripture. Did you know that? His name was Peter. And he said, upon thou, Peter, the rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He will bring forth the headstone. The headstone represents the cornerstone, which is the anointing, which is Jesus Christ. And Christ is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Christ means anointed. It said, he shall bring forth the headstone, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. The foundation stone of this temple that God is building is the anointing Christ, the cornerstone, the headstone Christ. The anointing that God has placed in this house will bring forth the spirit of Christ. It will bring forth Christ unto us.
We bless your holy name.
You've been listening to Pastor Rod Counselor. It is our prayer that this message has been a blessing to you. You can receive other inspirational teachings from Pastor Rod by contacting Rod Counselor Ministries at 1-800-298-4333. You can also join us at Nations Church in the Woodlands, Texas.